There is no parallel in any history of the world which corresponds. You can say, oh, this was similar to Upanishad period. No. Such a period existed only in Indian history. Upanishads are peculiar to India. And that is why India cannot be understood by anybody unless, of course, he understands Veda, but unless he understands the Upanishads. You cannot understand India, because as Sri Aurobindo says, even casually, Upanishads are a record of a stir. Upanishads are a record of a quest. A quest of a kind in which the soul of India was born. This is the speciality of Upanishads. It is Upanishads which marked out what is called Indian temperament, which is to be found everywhere, anybody in Indian soil. It is as if given to him as a gift, the stir and the quest that you find so much in the Upanishads. It is as if you are distributed in every part of this soil of India. In the soul of India and the soil of India, you might say, the both soil of India and the soul of India, they partake of this quest, this stir. What was this stir? What was this quest? This is how I would like to begin my talk on the Upanishad. What is the speciality of that stir, that quest in the Upanishads? You know, just as if you want to understand Auroville, where we are living, we are breathing, you won't understand Auroville without understanding the stir and the soul, the quest of Auroville. What is the quest of Auroville? What are we looking for? What are we striving for? What are we doing? What is it that moves us? Why are we meeting together? Why are we quarreling against each other? Why? There is a quest. That quest is very much connected with Upanishads. If you do not know Upanishad, you will not understand Auroville, where we are living. It is a fundamental foundation of Auroville. Therefore, when I was told that we must deal with Upanishad, I was very happy. I had prepared for Aristotle, I had prepared for Sankhya, I had not prepared for Upanishads at all. The order came to me from Dipti only a few days ago and said, you must talk on Upanishads. Now you see, this is the meaning of becoming open all the time. You may build up an edifice in advance, and suddenly at last moment you are told, no, this edifice is not to be worked on. Something else.
Which I didn't say. We'll do it later. Aristotle and Sankhya, we will do it
later. Anyway, not edifice is not broken. Anyway, it will be touched later on. Fine? Anyway, nothing is lost in the world. Everything remains. Anyway, but I was very happy because I found that every student in Auroville, and everybody is a student in Auroville, every student in Auroville should have a good grounding in the Upanishads. Upanishads for which there is no parallel in the history of the world. It is only peculiarly, we might say, Indian. It is the Upanishads which have kept and given a seal to the Indian temperament, Indian dharma, Indian consciousness. Now there are three characteristics of this particular temperament, particular stir, particular quest of the Upanishads. first aspect of Upanishads is to unveil a system of knowledge which was already available but which was hidden behind symbolism. So first, there was a knowledge, fund of knowledge, great knowledge, but that knowledge had become buried. It had become too much encrusted, curtained as it were. There was a kind of a veil over it. And the veil consisted of what? Of a language. There are many kinds of veils in the world. Even the dress that we are putting on is a veil. Similarly, knowledge also can have a veil. And one of the most effective ways of concealing knowledge is the language. You must have seen even children inventing a language when they want to speak privately to each other. The others cannot understand. You have some gestures. We have understood that Bettina and I, when we want to talk something very secretly, when others are present, I just make a gesture and she understands what I mean. Others will not understand. It's a language. Or I use certain words, certain sounds I make, which others don't understand. She will understand what I want, because we have agreed that we shall use this language when we want to talk to each other privately. All language, every word is a symbol actually. Every word in every language is a symbol. Therefore, language is automatically a veil. When you want to speak, you use a language. But language is a veil. Unless you learn the language, you don't understand what is being spoken. If I don't know Greek and somebody speaks in Greek to me, it is veiled. I cannot understand it. I must learn Greek. I must understand the symbolism of Greek language. But apart from these words, even if you understand words, there is another kind of veil, deeper symbols. When I say, "Oh, a horse has come to my house," I suddenly say, "A horse has come to my house," and when I look out, there is no horse outside, and then I say, "Horse has come to my house." What do you mean? The word horse is a symbol of something. If I have understood with one of my students that whenever I use the word horse, it means energy has come to me, then only he and I will understand when I say horse has come. If I say to somebody, "Now horse has overpowered me, heat has come into my body and I am overpowered by it," I don't say heat has come to me, I simply say horse has come to my body. It's another kind of symbolism. Horse is understood, the word is understood. Horse means horse. But no, there is another meaning, deeper meaning. Now, Veda was written in this symbolic language. And that's an important point to remember. There is a secret of the Veda, because Veda is a symbolic language. And the meanings of these symbols were lost in due course of time. Now when these meanings were lost, there was a tremendous effort on the part of people who belong to the period of the Upanishads to strive strongly. What was the meaning of the symbolism? and then to derive that knowledge. We might say, to cut the veil. There was a stir and quest of what? To cut the veil in which the Vedic knowledge was lost, was buried. And there was a tremendous effort. It's not an ordinary effort. A tremendous effort to cut the veil of symbolism and to derive from it the real meaning that was attempted to be conveyed through symbolism. That was one great stir and quest.